Patristic Nectar Publications is pleased to present A Word from the Holy Fathers by His Grace, Bishop Irenae of London and Western Europe. These short meditations reveal the ancient wisdom of the Church Fathers and apply it to 21st century Christian living. And now, His Grace, Bishop Irenae.
This quotation from Tobit chapter 12 opens the famous Life of St. Mary of Egypt, written by St. Sophronius of Jerusalem. Some things are meant to be hidden away, kept secret from the gaze of the world, but others cannot so be hid. They must be revealed, they must be proclaimed, shown to the world, and preached to the glory of God. In this fifth week of the Great Fast, the Church draws its attention toward one figure whose life is just such a thing that it is glorious to preach and to reveal, St. Mary, the great ascetic of the Egyptian desert. On the Wednesday of this week, the life of St. Mary is read in full at Matins, together with the full canon of St. Andrew of Crete, binding together these two great icons of repentance and a converted life. St. Mary's story is well known, and if to some it is still unfamiliar, still known only a little, this annual reading of the whole of her life is a God-provided opportunity to come to know it better. Since it is being read this week, it is not my intention to recount it in detail here, or to discuss her history at any great length. Suffice it, for our purposes, simply to remind ourselves of the profound nature of her repentance. A great sinner, a profligate like the prodigal son of the Gospel, whose memory we kept on the second pre-Lenten Sunday in the Triodion, St. Mary fell more and more deeply into sin, until, through the miraculous intercession of the Mother of God, she came to a moment of true, profound repentance. Unable to enter into the Holy Temple because of her sin, she retreated into the desert in due course to live the life of the recluse, the extreme ascetic, wandering naked among the sand, her life wholly in the hands of God. It was here that she was discovered by Father Zosimus, an elder of a nearby monastery, a great many years later. Her life is the recounting of this profound encounter, which so transformed Abba Zosimus, and which has been transforming the Church ever since. In few figures do we see repentance, that is, a true change of life and of heart, so perfectly imaged as we do in this beloved mother, St. Mary of Egypt. I would like to focus today on one particular portion from her life, as written by St. Sophronius, in which Father Zosimus encounters the saint for the first time. There was a custom, by way of background, at his monastery, whereby all the fathers departed into the desert following the services of the Sunday of Forgiveness, taking with them a little food and such supplies as they might need, there to spend in the sands of the desert the great fast in complete isolation. They wandered the desert alone with God during the 40 days, keeping clear of all others, neither talking to one another, the life says, nor desiring to know how each other lived out the fast. This extreme ascesis came to a conclusion the week before Holy Pascha, when all the fathers returned to the monastery to keep the services of Passion Week together in anticipation of Christ's holy resurrection. It was on one such retreat into the desert that Father Zosimus saw a figure in the distance as he roamed through the hills, a figure who, as the life recounts, was none other than this repentant Saint Mary, whose desert travails were, at that time, completely unknown to any but God. During their encounter, there comes a most remarkable moment. I read what follows from St. Mary's life, beginning with the words of the saint herself, responding to a plea by Father Zosimus to turn and show him her face, identifying herself. "Forgive me for God's sake," she says, "but I cannot turn towards you and show you my face, Abba Zosimus, for I am a woman and, as you can see, naked with the uncovered shame of my body. But if you would like to fulfill one wish of a sinful woman, throw me your cloak so that I can cover my body and turn to you and ask for your blessing." Here terror seized Zosimus, for he heard that she called him by name, and he realized that she could not have done so without knowing anything of him if she had not had the power of spiritual insight. He at once did as he was asked. He took off his old tattered cloak and threw it to her, turning away his face as he did so. She picked it up and was able to cover at least a part of her body. She then turned to Abba Zosimus and said, "Why do you wish, Abba Zosimus, to see a sinful woman? What do you wish to hear or to learn from me, you who have not yourself shrunk from such great ascetical struggles?" Zosimus threw himself on the ground and asked for her blessing. She likewise bowed down before him, and thus they lay on the ground prostrate before one another, asking for each other's blessing. One word alone could be heard from both, "Bless, bless me." After a long while the woman said to Zosimus, "Abba Zosimus, it is you who must give blessing and who must pray. You are dignified by the order of the priesthood, and for many years you have been standing before the holy altar and offering the sacrifice of the divine mysteries." This flung Zosimus into even greater terror. At length, with tears, he said to her, "O mother, filled with the Spirit, by your mode of life it is evident that you live with God and have died to the world. The grace granted to you is apparent, for you have called me by name. You have recognized that I am a priest, though you have never before seen me. Grace, mother, is recognized not by one's orders, but by gifts of the Spirit. So give me your blessing for God's sake, for I need your prayers." Then, giving way before the wish of the elder, the woman replied, "Blessed is God, who cares for the salvation of men and for their souls." And Zosimus replied, "Amen." This reading, of course, comes from the beginning sections of the life of Saint Mary. There is something remarkable in this exchange which can feed us here in the Lenten fast. The humility shown by Father Zosimus should be our teacher. He does not hesitate to prostrate himself immediately before this strange woman whom he has never before seen, about whom he knows nothing, despite the fact that he is himself a monastic, a priest, and evidently a notable ascetic. In the face of holiness, of grace, his first and only response is to fall down in humility, to prostrate himself before the grace of God. There is no desire to judge, no demand of qualification. He does not allow his own struggles, his own rank, to be an obstacle to humility. Whatever his attainments, he desires only to receive the grace of God he finds in this meek ascetic. How much we have to learn from this about our own attitudes to spiritual growth. The more we think we know about the faith, about spirituality, about theology or history, the more we are wont and ready to judge what we see and hear in others. Do I like those words? Could this or that have been said a little bit better? What do I really think of that person? But Father Zosimus responds to holiness succinctly, immediately, with genuine humility. Where grace abounds, he wishes only to receive, to be sanctified, to be healed. But we also learn something important in this exchange from Saint Mary. Clearly, she is already much sanctified. She has been given divine vision by God. She knows the identity of her visitor, details of his ascetical struggles. she has knowledge of his rank and orders, things that could only come from a real ascesis that gives birth to divine illumination. She is truly a holy woman, a mother filled with the Spirit, as Zosimus calls her. Yet for all this, she prostrates herself before him, and she does so out of reverence for Christ in the Eucharist, in the holy mysteries which he as priest brings to the people. Saint Mary recognizes a priest of Christ, one who by God's mercy stands before the holy altar and offers the sacrifice of the holy mysteries, and she beholds the workings of Christ in the world through this priest. Such is her reverence for Christ in the mysteries that Mary herself falls down immediately before the one who is at the altar, Christ's icon. Father Zosimus is clearly troubled by this. How can he pronounce a blessing on one who is so clearly holy? His desire is to seek her blessing. But Saint Mary, who has for years lived alone in the desert, far from the sacraments, beholds a priest of those sacraments and lies prostrate before them. Eventually, the saint acquiesces. Father Zosimus reminds her that the presence of the Spirit is the presence of grace, and seeing the Spirit so obviously present in her life, he again begs her blessing, and she offers it. But this is, of course, not the end of the story. Her invocation of God's blessing begins their dialogue in the Spirit, a dialogue which culminates in the mystery of Holy Communion, which she receives at the priest's hand, the true and fullest blessing. So we might ask, why is this particular encounter, this passage of the life, so significant? What does it have to teach us? Too often, our minds become distracted in the spiritual life. We behold the lives of great saints, the wonderful miracles of past and present, and we begin, through our weakness, to make a kind of idol in our minds out of those experiences. Real spirituality, we start to say, is the mystical vision of divine light. Real spirituality is seen in the healing of illness. Real spirituality is found in this miracle or that. And so, perhaps unaware, we begin to orientate our minds around such things, such experiences. And all these things are, of course, in themselves good, real, and holy. The Church assures us of this. It shows us their holiness, their power, in the lives of the saints, in the hymns of the Church. Yet at the very heart of our Christian life are the holy mysteries, the sacraments of the Lord, present and readily available to each and every Christian in the embrace of the Church, and which are the very pinnacle of divine communion. The Eucharist is our deepest mystery. It is true communion in Christ himself. If our focus on certain experiences drives us to minimize these mysteries, we distract ourselves from the real presence of the Lord. We seek what is in fact right before our eyes. We wander around looking for something that the Church gives us. Such is the sad state of one who, receiving Christ bodily, physically, in the Eucharist, departs the Church and laments that he has never had a mystical experience, has never beheld a divine vision. Yet this one has just received Christ bodily, the fullest mystical reality. He has tasted the flesh and the blood of the Lord. He has cried out, "We have seen the true light." Can such a one really walk out the door and say, if only, I could have some mystical experience?" This message is brought home to us in our passage from the life of Saint Mary. Father Zosimus beholds the spiritual illumination of the saint. He wishes to be blessed by it. But Saint Mary beholds the mystical reality of his priesthood, and asks for him to bestow that blessing on her. It is as if she says, "Look, you hold in your hands the body of the Lord. That is the blessing. Let us be sanctified by that." The life of Saint Mary offers us a right sense of balance. Mary does bestow a blessing, and we are reminded that those who are sanctified in this life are, in truth, persons of grace, transfigured by Christ, who in love share that grace with others. Zosimus is right to seek her blessing, and she humbly, obediently, petitions the blessing of the Lord. But the fullest blessing recounted in the life is the communion, the mystery of the Holy Eucharist, which the saint is able to receive from Father Zosimus. The fullest mystery of grace in the ascetical life, a life which struggles towards Christ, is Christ's own coming, bodily, into the human person, life receiving life, and being drawn into true communion with the Creator. This is made doubly clear later in the texts of the life. Father Zosimus, returning into the desert to visit Saint Mary, now bearing with him the holy gifts, beholds her miraculously walking across the water towards him, and he attempts to fall prostrate before her once again at the sight of this Christ-like wonder. But at this point we read the following. When he wanted to prostrate himself, Saint Mary cried out to him while still walking on the water, "What are you doing, Abba? You are a priest, and you are carrying the divine gifts." He obeyed her, and on reaching the shore, she said to the elder, "Bless, Father, bless me." He answered her trembling, for a state of confusion had overcome him at the sight of the miracle. "Truly," he said, "God did not lie when he promised that when we purify ourselves, we shall be like him. Glory to thee, Christ our God, who has shown me through this thy servant how far away I stand from perfection." What does this teach us here in the fast? Firstly, that we are to recognize the true holiness that comes from humility and repentance. Saint Mary is an icon of the truly repentant heart, an icon we are all meant to behold, by which we are all meant to be transformed. We see in her the wonders of humility and repentance, one who lives in true communion with Christ, in whom the Lord's miracles are manifest, who lives on earth the life of the angels. We learn that in Christ a life is not judged by what virtues or vices it may have acquired here or there, but by the genuineness of its repentant self-offering to the Lord. So may we learn from Saint Mary a real repentance in our own lives, and so be drawn into his. Yet Saint Mary also gives us a solemn reminder about the holiness always before us in the holy gifts. In the chalice we encounter Christ himself. We receive bodily the Lord of glory. May we never be distracted from this ultimate mystery which is every day in our midst. Christ is here. Let us not forget it. When we struggle after spiritual growth, let us not forget the spiritual food put before us each week in the divine mysteries. When we seek communion with the Lord, let us not deny or belittle the true communion we receive at the chalice. When we seek after the vision of God, let us not forget that we behold the true light, the true Christ, elevated at each liturgy before us, then received into our members as new temples of his glory. The life of Saint Mary reminds us how far we have each of us to go in our own repentance. But it reminds us too that the Lord is here, here in our midst, in the chalice, offering himself to us as we struggle to offer ourselves to him. Let us receive this Lord in obedience, repentance, and humility, and so may we attain his divine kingdom.
We hope you have enjoyed listening to A Word from the Holy Fathers by His Grace Bishop Irenae of London and Western Europe, offered to you by Patristic Nectar Publications, nourishing the spiritually thirsty with the sweet teachings of the Holy Fathers.